Cool. All right, kids, you want to come on down the front? All right, we've got a few kids here today. We've got a few visitor kids. Yeah, oh, it's cool. How are you guys doing? All right, don't look at Richie. Don't look at Richie. Don't look at Richie. You know why I don't look at Richie? Because the Broncos are not playing really well.
And Cowboys.
Yeah, that's our only win. But I love your encouragement, brother. Thank you. Whew, 1 out of 5. Yeah, we're on fire. What am I thinking? Thank you. All right. Okay, you guys good there? You all right? All right. Can anyone tell me what this is?
Teddy bear.
A teddy bear.
It's a play school.
There's a bear in there. Little Ted. Does anyone know who this belongs to?
You.
Me? Why would that belong to me? Why
play school.
Why would I have a teddy bear that size?
Because it was when you were younger.
Oh, when I was younger. Ah, so who agrees with our man of wisdom and knowledge over here that this teddy bear, in its almost pristine condition, only with a broken leg, was maybe my teddy bear when I was a little fella? Yes? One? Two? Three? Oh, a few others. Yeah, that's correct. This is my teddy bear from when I was a little boy. He survived, yes. Yes. Not like my G.I. Joes and all that. They didn't survive. But my little teddy bear was my friend when I went to bed. And, yeah, I think his eye got glued on once. And he did my what?
Mummy mined him for you.
She might have.
Why are you still happy?
Because sometimes I snore and I have to go and sleep by myself. And so he keeps coming. No. All right, now, the reason I have this is I'm cleaning up my mum's house, and my mum has kept everything. And so he was kept very good by my mum. And so it's been cool to see him come back to life. Can he just sit there for a bit? You don't mind? He doesn't bite. He just sits there nicely. Now, when I was a little boy with him, my mum and my dad made the rules for my home. Is that what happens at your place? Does mum and dad make the rules for your house?
Yes.
Yes? There they do? You don't get to say? You don't get to say, I'm only going to eat veggies once a week? No? So mum and dad make the rules. Mum and dad make the rules when I was a little boy. And my dad, you know what he was? He was the enforcer of the rules. And he was the one that would make sure the rules were followed out. One of the scariest things my mum would ever say to me was, oh, it happened in your house too. Okay. Yeah. For those that didn't hear it, wait till your father gets home. Yeah. You're laughing. Does that happen in your house? Oh, no. Okay. All right. Now, I lived in an era where it was not only okay to smack your kids, it was all right to belt your kids. And I got some good beltings. I don't know why. I was such a good little boy. Innocent. Anyway, so mum would make the rules. Dad would enforce the rules. All right. Now, you guys got the same. Let's say you get to be the rule maker in your house for this week. Have a think. Yeah, look at this. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love coming to church. It's only hypothetical, okay? You don't actually get to do it. All right. Whew. Mum and Dad, I apologize right now. I now live at a different house. Don't go to Two Gold Place. You won't find me there. Okay. So, in your house, what would be one rule you would bring in? Oh, straight away. Here we go. Yes, what would it be? You can eat all the chocolate. Ah, and coming into Easter, that's a great time to make that rule. Because do you have a rule at Easter you can only eat one egg at a time?
No.
Okay, well, maybe that shouldn't have been said. Maybe Mum and Dad will grab that one. All right.
Watch as much TV as you want.
TV, everyone. Yes.
No schoolwork.
No schoolwork. Yay. I'm going to be a lollipop man one day when I get out of school because I didn't do it. I know. Okay. Anyone else? What under the rules? Yes.
Do anything you want.
Do anything you want. Do anything you want. No restrictions. Wow, that could go so wrong.
There is no rules.
There is no rules. Viva la revolution. All right. Anyone else over here, you guys? Any rules you'd bring in? Nothing? No? Do you like some of those rules? All TV? You like the TV one? Lots of sport? What's that one? What's that shirt? Soccer? Manchester? Is that Manchester? Is that Manchester? Huh? Soccer? Wow. Watch all the soccer you want. Isn't the Premier League on at the moment? And FA Cup's coming soon? Is that right, Dad? FA Cup? You soccer? Oh, okay. But guess what? That's not what happens, is it? We live in a place where there's rules. Outside your house, in your school, are there rules? Yeah. No?
We do homeschool.
You do homeschool? Ah. But there'd still be rules in your school.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you hear that? Yes. Even the shoulders dropped. Okay, so there's still rules. Okay, so outside in society, are there still rules? Yep. So how many of you walk to church today? No? You drove in cars? So when you drove in the car, did mum and dad had to stick to a speed limit? Yeah, and they had to stop at red lights and go through green lights? So there's rules. There's rules. Now, when Jesus was around, guess what? There were rules then too. Lots of rules. And the Romans were the ones that were in power when Jesus was alive. And they had a lot of really tough rules. They ruled Israel, which is where Jesus was, Jerusalem, with an iron hand. And so a lot of the people didn't get to do and be free. They got to do it under a Roman rule. And it was quite a different place to live in. The people of Jesus' day wanted to be free. No Roman rules. They wanted to have things their way and do things their way. But if they got rid of the Roman rules, guess what? They would have put a king in place. And what do you think he would have done? He'd put in his rules. So there's always going to be something that's going to be there for us to be obedient to. And also, the rules that are put in place are usually, 9 times out of 10, I think, for our betterment. Okay, benefit as well. Betterment is probably a Donnie word. Correct. Apparently there are rules in English. So what was that one? Benefit. Very good. So for our benefit, there we go. I'm learning stuff all the time. So for our benefit, I mean, if you could eat all the chocolate all the time, there will be some side effects to that. If we can watch all the TV we want, there will be side effects for that. You might get these real quick, all right? If you didn't have to do any schoolwork, there would be side effects to that. If you had zero rules, there would be side effects, trust me. No. You and I can have a chat later. We'll work that out a bit detailed. All right. Kids, I want to pray for you. Unfortunately, we don't have kids, KL kids today. So you're going to stay in with us and hopefully you'll enjoy it and we'll do some good things during the sermon as well. So I'm just going to pray for you. I love you, kids. Thank you so much for being a part of our kids' chat today. And sorry about all the rules, but I pray that you'll have the grace to work in and through those rules and grow up to be... You've got a question. Sure, go ahead.
Palm trees for?
Oh, very good. Well, today's called Palm Sunday. And then listen to the beginning of the sermon. I'll explain it all. All right? Hold on. Very good. Father God, thank you for our kids. Thank you for their love, their vitality and their questions and their understanding of things and the ability to teach us English. Lord, thank you for that. I pray, Lord God, that you would watch over them, that they would know you so well and so intimately that they will walk with you. Lord, I thank you for them. And Lord, this Easter season, may they understand the palm trees. May they understand the cross. May they understand the resurrection of our King of Kings, the Lord Jesus. Watch over them, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's kids said?
Amen.
Amen. All right, feel free to stay there if you want or go back and sit with Mum and Dad.
Today's reading comes from the Gospel of John, Chapter 12, starting at verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, welcome along this morning to our Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, part of the Easter celebrations. We're going to continue to be looking through the book of John as we go through Easter. So you looked at John last week with Brendan, and we're going to look at John today and on Good Friday and on Easter Sunday. And if I remember correctly, probably the following after that, we'll continue on in the book of John. Today being Palm Sunday, you'll see that there's a few palm trees, palm branches have been laid around. You see these beautiful ones. Now, I don't know about you, but from my childhood, this is the atypical sort of palm branch that I remember being waved around in my church. Or when you looked into the pictures in the Good News Bible, this sort of one is the one I figured to seeing. And there's little kids ran around with these branches on Palm Sunday as well. And it was always a lot of fun seeing those palm branches. But I think on Palm Sunday, the original one, there may have been some of these ones grabbed. Not as beautiful and young and good looking as that one. A little bit more tattered and beat up because the pastor shoved it in his car. But then there may have been some who just grabbed the one that was on the ground and laid that down, or waved, probably didn't wave that one around, but maybe laid it down for Jesus to ride the donkey on. And I've got that there, and hopefully we'll get to it at the end of the sermon, why I've got an old one with the young ones on a day like Palm Sunday. Now, Palm Sunday is a great day of celebration. A whole bunch of people had come out to see Jesus come. Now, they're already going to be in Jerusalem because it's a festival. There's a massive festival taking place, and they've come in. And they're ready to worship their God, go to the temple, but they're also there because Jesus was there. And the word had got around that Jesus was going to be there, and they were listening to all the things that were happening in and around the place. And if we look at today's reading, and we go back a little while, it says in verse 9 of chapter 12, "Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there, and they came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were coming over to Jesus and believing in him." So we already heard from what Trish read that they wanted to kill Jesus because the whole world was going after him. And so now they want to get rid of Lazarus as well. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Lazarus, I'd be a bit ticked at that. Because what did he do? No, he didn't do that. He was just lying in the tomb, dead. And he hears the voice of God speak to him, "Come out." And he was just obedient. And because he was obedient and he came back to life by the power of God, now they want to kill him. What? I'm guilty for coming back to life? That's a bit harsh. Do you see what I'm saying? But because of his testimony, because of the life-changing work of God in his life, people were going, "Wow, this Jesus is real. This Jesus is the Son of God. This Jesus is the Messiah." And the amazing thing is, with this time on Palm Sunday, is that Jesus grabs hold of a whole bunch of things and he ties them together very beautifully, and he brings home something that is quite amazing. Quite amazing. Today, Jesus is carried into Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of a donkey. On Friday, Jesus leaves Jerusalem carrying a cross. Today, Jesus is cheered by the crowd. They cry out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed he who is the King of Israel." Hosanna! They're crying out his name. The really cool thing about Palm Sunday is it's in all four Gospels, and you get to read it in different ways. And the praise must have been so amazing, because in one of the Gospels it talks about the Pharisees saying to Jesus, "Tell the mob to stop it. It's making too much noise. You're making, you know, the noise level's too high. The Romans are going to get upset." And Jesus says, "If I tell them to be quiet, the rocks themselves will cry out on this day." It's a special day. There's praise going absolutely everywhere. But the amazing thing is, the following Friday, this same crowd no longer is shouting Hosanna. They're shouting, "Crucify him. Crucify him." And they're spitting on him, and they're yelling at him, and they're cursing him. Today, Jesus is surrounded by his disciples. His disciples are taking all this in. They're not understanding it all, but they're taking it all in. They're taking it in. This is amazing. Could you imagine? As Randall tried to paint that picture at the beginning of the service today, imagine this happening today. And the shouting and the praises on one day. But then a week later, Jesus is left by himself because all the disciples leave him. They run away. Boy, do they run away. One denies him three times. Isn't it amazing the difference a week makes? Certainly makes a huge difference here. The taking of the branches, the laying them down, it's not something new. This is not the first time that the people of Israel have done that. That's not the first time they've grabbed these branches and waved them around. Because it was something that they did when kings came back from winning great victories, and they would lay it down, but not that those kings would have ridden in on the colt of a donkey. They may have rode in on a horse, but you know, if you look through the Old Testament, the Jewish army didn't have a lot of cavalry. They didn't have a lot of horses. All right. I need my kids back here to help me with my English. Oh, you're right here. Okay, cool. Help me out here. And so they didn't have a lot. So maybe the kings didn't ride in on a great big white charger like we sometimes think of. But they certainly were praised and worshipped as they come back from battle, winning and returning. Jesus is in a place where the crowd is claiming him as Messiah. Now, for your understanding, those other Gospels talk a little bit differently, don't they, about the donkey. There's a couple of the Gospels that talk about Jesus sending the disciples away to get the colt. And it's quite a miracle how that comes about. The book of John says, "And Jesus found the donkey and hopped on it." So it sort of pictures that it was just hanging around. Trust me, donkeys weren't just hanging around. Like Ferraris don't just hang around today. "Oh, look, there's a Ferrari. I think I'll jump in that one and drive in." It was significant that this came about. The Gospel of John paints the picture around the Hosanna and says that the scripture that he says is, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on the donkey's colt." That's from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It's not what was said at the time. The crowd didn't know it, but John's put it in there afterwards because he realized what was taking place. But I want to tell you, I think Jesus knew what was taking place. He was aligning himself as the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. And so when they shouted, "Hosanna," Jesus is going, "Yeah, yeah, preach it. I am the Savior. This is my moment. I have but a short time left on earth. I am the Savior. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ." So having that taking place, I wonder what's taking place in all those that are around him. Now, we've done some great studies on the disciples over the last many years, and we know that the disciples were a very different bunch of people. I think the disciples were actually the first Baptist church. They were so broken up into different places and different ways and different understandings. you know, were together but autonomous. You know, they had their own understandings. In amongst the disciples were people who were Viva la Revolution people. Let's get rid of the Romans. There were some who were very much in with the priests. We think John was very close to the priesthood, very close to the understanding. So there would have been different understandings. These guys would have been looking at Jesus riding in on this colt and going, oh, this is what's happening. Oh, no, this is what's happening. No, this is what's happening. There would have been this and that taking place. So in the disciples, we had that difference. What about the whole mob? Do you think there were some differences of opinions of what they were seeing as Jesus sat on a donkey and rode into this Jerusalem? The Messiah was coming. See, some of the understanding of the Messiah was that Messiah would bring in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God would be this amazing thing. Let me just read my notes on this bit because I want to tie this in properly. The Messiah would come in and he would become a new king, like in the days of David. Now, if you've been in Israel, the King David is still talked about. Oh, the old glory days, the good old days. How many of us know that sometimes the good old days aren't really the good old days? Yeah, that's true. They're not the good old days. But they loved the good old days of King David. And they wanted again to be that kingdom, that massive kingdom that understood what David was doing. That great kingdom. That great nation. And at the end of it, and no Romans. The Romans would be gone. They would be out of Israel and they would be ruling themselves and they'd be a great kingdom again. So that's what they were looking for, the Messiah to come in and bring about this massive change. Others were hoping that the Messiah would come in and return to Israel to a great nation under God, that the temple would be, again be the center, not the king, but the temple would be the center of what Israel is all about. So all the great religious things from the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy would be all put in place again. And the priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees would be the leaders of this great nation called Israel. And at the end of it, and the Romans would be gone. And we would be our own nation yet again. Others were praying that as the Messiah come in, that it would bring peace and prosperity. Lots of money. Lots of money and greatness. And, of course, the Romans would be gone. So a big thing was that the Romans would be gone. They'd be gone. And the new Messiah would bring this in. But as Jesus is coming in, he's a different Messiah, isn't he? For those of us that have followed the 3 years of Jesus' journey, he's a different Messiah. He's a different Savior. He's not worried about the rule of the Romans. He's not even worried about the temple being the focal point. He's worried about God and the kingdom of God. How are we today dealing with this? How do we go about thinking about the kingdom of God coming into our community? Do we have our own preconceived ideas of what that means? When the kingdom of God comes in here in Kawana, what will that be? Will bigger and better churches be built and more people will come to church? Will we get rid of all, you know, there will be no arguments about abortion or euthanasia or same-sex marriage because all values and morals will all be lined up one way, this way. No other way will be ever looked at. Is that what we're praying into for the kingdom of God to come in? Is it a Christ-like government will be in place? John the Baptist was the first to announce Jesus as the Messiah. And yet, John the Baptist had his doubts, didn't he? In Luke chapter 7, John the Baptist, about verse 18, says, John's disciples told him about all these things, and he called two of them. He's in prison at this time. And he says, go and say to Jesus, or he says to the Lord, and ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? This is the same John the Baptist that when he saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was started strong, didn't he? And he's wavered a bit. He's got some doubts. But it's the same John the Baptist who, when a couple of his disciples came to him and said, is that the one? And he said, go follow him. I'm not worthy to tie up his shoelaces. Yeah, he's the better one. I'm not the Messiah. I'm the one that comes before him. Go follow him. go follow him. But now he's doubting, and he sends these disciples off to see what's going on. And when they come, they explain to Jesus, John the Baptist wants to know, are you the one who is to come, or should he expect someone else? And at that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and he gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John that the Romans will soon be kicked out of Israel, that the great nation of Israel will come back, the temple will be the center, and everything will be back as it was in the good old days of David, because I am the new Messiah. Is that what he said? No. He had nothing in there about the Romans being kicked out or the temple being the place of complete worship. He goes, go back and report to John what you see and have heard, that the blind receive sight, that the lame walk, and that those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed who is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. So he gives him the word of the good news of the kingdom of God. And if you go back to Jesus' first sermon that he says out aloud, he does that. He says, behold, the word of God. And he quotes from the book of Isaiah. Now in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist is preaching his message. He had a really simple message. How many of you know what John the Baptist's early message was in Matthew chapter 3? Repent. Repent. We don't use that word very often these days, do we? And if someone comes up to you and say, Donnie, you need to repent and get a haircut. Yeah, often people will get upset with that. Now, the chances are I probably do need to repent and I probably do need a haircut. Even my wife is suggesting I need a haircut, so it's probably right. So I need to repent. I need to change the way I'm thinking, the way I'm looking, and get a haircut. But there's other areas of our lives that when we hear the word repent, you know, we don't like that. I had a chat to one of my daughter, not the one that's here today, the other one, and I told her that she was telling me she was doing something. I said, oh, wow, I'm sorry to hear that because I thought you'd repented of that idea. And she got very upset with me that I said that she had repented of that idea. But we don't like that word. But it's a good word. Jesus, John the Baptist, Jesus, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 4 when he first preached? He grabbed the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God was important. Repentance was important. And it's the same message. And yet, John the Baptist in Luke chapter 7 is saying, are you the Messiah? Or should we look for someone else? The kingdom of God, the way Jesus brings the kingdom of God, he turns it upside down, doesn't he? He turns it totally upside down. And we need to get our head around that, because it's a struggle, because we would rather come in differently, I think, to the way Jesus would be doing things today. I think this shouting praise is easy to God. Easy for us when we shout praise to God. Today is a day to shout praise, and thank you, Randall, for some good songs of shouting praise. In my devotional this morning, one of the devotions said that praise is so important, and on a day like today, Palm Sunday, it's a day where we can let loose and we can shout out and sing Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. We can announce that Jesus is the Messiah. And it told a story about a pastor who'd been in this church for many years, and he'd got despondent and even depressed, and he'd written out his resignation and he had enough. But before he handed in his resignation to the leadership team or the elders, he did one last thing. And so if I ever write out my resignation, I won't be doing this one last thing. He went into the church and he bowed down and he got at the front and he prayed. And as he prayed, he heard God say to him, let's take a time to praise God. Praise me for all that you've done in ministry in this place through my Holy Spirit. And so he started praying and thanking God for all the amazing things that had happened in those years, those many years of ministering in and through that church. And the more he praised God, the more he thanked God, guess what? The closer he got to ripping up that resignation sheet, the more he felt, what am I doing? I am God's man for this place. I am in the right place. This is what God's got for me. God has done great things. And what he did yesterday, he'll do today and he'll do tomorrow. For our God is a great God. He walked out of there not ready to resign, but he's ready for the next part of the journey. And I think sometimes on a day like today, we need to grab hold of that and go, yeah, this is a good place. God is a good God. And He is with us. He's not against us. He is for us. And no matter what things are going on, we can certainly praise His name and be about the kingdom of God in and through this place. See, Jesus didn't come to grab power, and yet He was given all authority. Jesus didn't come to be the king like David, and yet He is the King of Kings. Jesus didn't come to build a great big church, but He came to bring the kingdom of God in you and in me and in our community. So when John doubted, Jesus said these things, that the blind see, the lame walk, the unclean are clean, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. I pray today all of us will take on that ministry, that aspects of the good news of the kingdom of God, that we will bring about the fact that the blind can see. And I mean even literally the blind will see. I certainly am keen to pray for people who cannot see and they get their sight back. I love it that could happen. But we can also take it figuratively and spiritually, that those who are spiritually blind, those who have got spiritual cataracts, those who have got, you know, the need that they can't see, their sight is so narrow-minded that they can't see properly, that we can pray into that and they can become spiritually able to see. They can spiritually get rid of the cataracts and the narrow-mindedness of their vision. That the lame may walk. I'll certainly pray for folk who cannot walk properly. But what about people who are struggling to walk with God, who are crippled spiritually, emotionally, damaged by this world? I want to pray into them so that they too may walk in strength and in power of the Holy Spirit. The clean, the unclean to become clean. Mate, the transformation of God, that's got to be something big that we need to do in our community. Not to be scared or run away from those that we see as unclean, but to see what God can do. This story wasn't in my notes, but I'm going to tell it. On the boat, ship, we went to a lot of places and we saw a lot of things, and there was lots of alcohol everywhere. It was expensive alcohol, but there was lots of it. And we're sitting there, I can't remember, was sitting there listening to a Beatles tribute band. Or it was a 70s night or something. Anyway, I'm looking around this massive crowd of people, and in my heart, I said to God, these are not my people. These are bogans. These are drunkards. These are, oh man, these are tripping people. These are people, these are not my people. And I just thought it was just me making an observation. And as much as I've ever heard God say anything to me, I heard Him say, but they're my people. Ooh. I went, but I'm on holidays. But you're not on holidays, are you? You're never ever on holidays with Jesus. Here I am on a boat, the middle of the ocean, probably Tasman Sea. And God, bang, they're my people. And to make sure that I dealt with that, I confessed it to Cynthia, didn't I, honey? And I shared it with Brendan. They're my people, God said. And we might look around this place. We might look at the circle. We might look in the school. We might hear stuff and go, yeah, they're not our people. We like the clean people. But you know what? God likes the unclean. He wants to clean them up in the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to set them free. And He wants to make good things happen in their lives, folks. So join me and repent, because God wants to bring in some people that may mess around with our head. The deaf to hear. That those that do. How many of you have met people that don't hear? They hear fine, but they never understand what you're saying. They never perceive anything. It just goes one ear out the other. Nothing. There is no hearing taking place at all. Lord, we pray for Randall. Yeah. Yeah. You're interceding for Trish. I appreciate that too. That the deaf will hear. And a lot of the time in our community and that, the people are not listening. They're not overhearing. They've got this wall up against the Word of God. They don't want to hear it. And we need to see that they can hear it. And part of that is in prayer. We break that down and the deaf will hear. That the dead are raised. How many people are just dead in Christ? Not just, they're dead. They don't know anything. For those of you that are teaching RI, thank you, because we have so many young people these days growing up knowing nothing. Nothing. I still am blown away that, you know, when I first told in grade one the story of David versus Goliath, and I built it up really well, like this big guy taking on this little guy. This big guy had a big sword, and a little guy had a little stone, and this big guy had a big shield. This guy had nothing. And then I told the story, and then David wins. And a whole bunch of little boys jump up and go, yeah, I knew he was going to win, yeah. They were pumped. They never knew the story. They didn't know that Goliath got beaten. Everyone here knows Goliath got beat. I'm not wrecking anyone's story here when you get to... And they were just so excited that this little guy, the little underdog, got up and beat the big giant with all the special stuff. And to go about and to preach the good news, to make sure it is proclaimed to everyone, especially the poor. Palm Sunday is a day, no matter how young, vibrant, alive we are, or whether the world has been a little bit tougher on us, or whether we feel like those people, I think it's Winton, Bruce, where they're still in drought. Still in drought. After all that rain and everything, Longreach has had some rain and it's going good, but Winton, we heard some great reports at conference. It's still in drought. Everything is dead. But how many of us know the Spirit of God can make the dead live again? The breath of the Holy Spirit can come into dead bones in the valley, in Kiwana, in Queensland, in Australia, and it can come back to life in Jesus' name. This is a day for us to celebrate. Our God is a mighty God, and he enters into Jerusalem as the Messiah, the Savior, our Savior. But if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I'd love you to come and have a chat to me. What we've talked about today, being able to see, being able to hear, being able to walk in the power of God, is available for you to follow Jesus today and every day. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for hanging out with us this morning.